Now, I'm continuing our pastor series in Isaiah. We're back there at Isaiah 5 tonight. And I'm preaching tonight on God's holy hedge, Isaiah 5, 1 through 5. Let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones, planted it with choicest vine, built a tower in the midst, and made a wine press in it. And he expected to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. You look that up in Hebrew. That means poison grapes. Poison grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard than I have done in it? And when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, it brought forth poison grapes. And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take away its hedge. It shall be burned. I'll break down its wall, and it shall be trampled on. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us present truth out of this ancient prophecy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's appropriate. You can be seated. It's appropriate that we're talking about a vineyard tonight because the harvest of the fall season, Dr. Collins will tell you this is the truth, where the olives, and that's when the olives, the winter wheat, and the grapes, the vineyards, the vintages were harvested. It was a time of great joy in the nation, great celebration. And so the vineyard was considered very important. It was a source of wealth, it was a source of wine, it was a source of food, and it was just a very important thing. And remember in the New Testament in John 15, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you're the branches." And he talked about bringing forth fruit. So we find that vineyard motif even flowing in to the New Testament. But I'm not going to talk about a lot about the vine tonight. I want to talk about the hedge tonight. And if you want deeper study, if you have a copy of Everyone's Guide or Vanquishing the Enemy, it's in there. It's also in the Angels and Demons book, the teaching on God's hedge. I think it's very important for us to understand. It's sad in verse 5. God said, "I will take away its hedge. It shall be burned. I'll break down its wall, and it shall be trampled on." I want to announce to you that I believe outside of the last judgment itself, the most terrifying judgment that could take place to a nation, to a family, to a gathering like a church, is the removal of God's hedge of protection, the removal of that hedge. God will remove his hedge of protection, and the removal of God's protective hedge is a judgment beyond anything you can imagine. And we have seen hedges drop broken in America. We've not seen them totally removed. And we are seeing an effort to repair hedges right now. And we're seeing the enemy bring everything he can against the repairing of those hedges. Let's talk about the hedges. Number one, the reality of the hedge. Now talk about a vineyard. In a vineyard, and sometimes in the olive groves, but more often than not in the vineyard, there were three hedges. There was first the wall of stone. That was to protect it from those things that could crawl or into it. And then around the top of that wall of stone, they would plant, till it would grow over the top of the stone, a hedge of thorns. That would keep the climbing creatures from climbing over in and getting the vineyards. But when harvest came near and the vintage was about ripe, the birds of the air could smell it. And so they would build a wall of fire. Anybody ever heard about a wall of fire? And the wall of fire kept that thing in the atmosphere, that thing in the air, from penetrating in to steal or to spoil or to poison the harvest. These protections were in place so that the possibilities of the vineyard should come to pass. This vineyard was never built to bring forth poison fruit. This vineyard was never built to fail. This vineyard was built, placed with every possible advantage to bring forth the grapes that could bring forth the vintage, the wine that they would need for medicine, for health, and for nutrition. But anyway, God's protective hedges were there, and I'll apply these to us in a moment. Number two, there are at least four realms that God declares that are protected by hedges today. Number one, nations enjoy the protection of the hedge. Our text speaks of the nation of Israel. However, our nation, America, has known such protections and miracles. We have seen God so many times protect our nation from what could have been much worse. But I want to just say to you right now that I believe with all my heart that this isn't political. Because you need to understand from my heart, there's several things you need to understand about me. Number one, I don't care about political parties. I don't. Couldn't care less. There's good in both, there's hell in both. I don't really give a rip a lot about denominations, but the one I am is a Baptist, and it's the best one. I mean, where was President Trump this morning in New Bern, North Carolina? With the group that got there first. Wasn't the Red Cross. It was Southern Baptists. Southern Baptist rescue teams are always first on the scene. And the president went into Temple Southern Baptist Church. And that's where he greeted. That was the staging ground to take care of all those people. Was at a Baptist church. I don't believe in, I'm not denominationalist, but I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I was Baptist born and Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. And that's a quote from John Osteen. Amen, that's a fact. But you need to understand that the reason America has been overrun with illegal immigrants, this has nothing to do with Hispanics, Latinos, or anybody else, because we also have Islamic terrorists coming in the country. But the reason we've been overrun by people is that in the constitution of God's universe, if you kill 50 million human beings in the womb, I'm going to take the hedge down and run 50 million, baby, you, all of you don't want, in on top of you. That's just the way it works. And isn't it interesting that the president's motif, whether you like him or not, is to build a hedge? It's just what it is. And my convictions, folks, about elections are as I'm not going to support anyone, no matter who they are, that supports these baby-killing feminists. I'm not going to do it. It's wrong. Not going to do it. I believe it takes the hedge down around our nation and leaves us unprotected. I believe they can be redeemed, but I'm going to stick with the Bible and not with popular culture. I'm not a politician. I'm not going to lick my finger like so many preachers are doing now and holding it up and saying what people think is politically correct. You know, I'm headed to Flint, Michigan, and I'll preach there just like I do here on this weekend. Nations. Let me tell you something. When you turn against Israel, the hedge is coming down. And I wish I could take 2 hours and give you the history of Great Britain. And I'm going to tell you, our nation, almost. Number two, families can live behind the hedge. You look at Job. Don't have time to spend a lot of time there. But all God did to Job when Satan attacked him and said, he's only right because you're good to him. And what happened is God pulled down a hedge. And this Job got up every morning and offered sacrifice, made offerings, and prayed for his family. And those offerings and prayers built a hedge around his family. But when the hedge was taken down, everything he had was gone. You say, well, wow, I wouldn't want the hedge taken out around my family. Make sure your family is in alignment and right with God. Let me give you a third realm, individuals can be hedged up. One of my favorite passages, Hosea 2. I love the book of Hosea because here's a man and God orders him to marry a woman of ill repute, a harlot. Hosea 2:5. Does that give any of you a problem? It ought to just rip your religious... Never mind. She that conceived them, his children, had done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, mine oil, and my... In other words, I'm going after some men that can give me more than you can. A lot of that's going on under divorce and remarriage now too, but I'm not going to go there. You're getting quiet in here. Verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths, and she shall follow after her lovers but not overtake them, and she shall seek them but shall not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better to me than now. What's the alternative of divorce if your mate's been unfaithful? Pray a hedge of thorns around them and keep that hedge there so that every time that person that's left you for another affection, every time they think it's going to be wonderful, they run into a hedge of thorns. It's like an old rose bush that's grown wild and it stings. And that's what happened to this woman. It happened to her. And God hedged her up. What do you do with all these wayward children? Put a hedge of thorns around them. Now let me warn you, they're going to get stabbed and stung and hurt and burned and may end up in jail before they come home. But God will hem them up. The hedge of thorns prayer. God will hedge up individuals. God will hedge up churches behind his holy hedge. A church that wants to be right with God will find itself embarrassed and exposed because that church is determined to clean itself up. And when we get right with God, he'll throw a hedge of provision and protection around a local church. I think perhaps this area, with all our benefits, it's so much wonderful about this area, but I've never seen an area where people jump from church to church like they do this area. I don't see it anyplace else. And I pastored in Alabama, pastored in Louisiana. I've preached in hundreds of churches. And if what you want to do, do it. But understand, you don't have any protection. Church protection happens for you when you get under the leadership of a man of God and woman of God, and you abide under that authority, and you abide under the authority of what the vision that God has in that church. Well, I just don't like what's going on. Well, God never asked you to like it. I'm just telling you the truth. You can get mad and do what most folks usually do, go down the road and irritate the next church. It doesn't work. And the reason why this city has never seen the overpowering explosion of revival in a real mega church is because the minute one is about to break open, you got about 12 little groups that decide they don't like the music, they don't like this, they don't like that. They undermine the authority of the pastor, and God pulls down the hedge. You say, I just don't believe that's biblical. Better read the last chapter of Hebrews. It says, obey them that rule over you. It's talking about pastors. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. I wish I had a dollar for every church expert that's been a member that's tried to tell me how to pastor a church that don't know your, well, what I better not say that in the church. Don't know the end from the beginning. That's all right with everybody? I'm good, buddy. I'm serious. If you know how to pastor a church, start you one. 700 other people have in this city in the last 20 years. 700 church starts. In a town of 300,000. What division? But when we get in alignment and under authority and under the word of God, and we get into agreement, not over every little detail, not over every note of every song, not over every style, not over every decision, but under the vision, God will begin to build a hedge of protection. And you ought to have your family under the word of God. You ought to have your family under a local church. Can I blow this out a little bit too, because y'all need this? Tell your children, because most of them ain't here, but your grandchildren. It is so wimpy to decide where you're going to church based on what the children want to do.
just got a better program.
No names. Supported this church for years. Pulled out. Got into another place. Poured money into it. Helping their schools. Kid took off of the university 3 months later. Kid got thrown out of school for being on drugs. Went down there and said, I didn't send you to this school to be on drugs. He said, I got on drugs at the Christian school you paid to build. See, just running off somewhere doesn't always work. I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to give you some instruction here. You need to stay under authority. As for me and my house, you need to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But there is a restless spirit. I see it especially in music. There's a restless spirit. Well, it's just not what I want. We'll go down the road. And some people have moved 14 times and never can sell it. There's one worship leader who's now been in 11 different churches within a 100-mile radius of where I preach in the Shenandoah Valley. And nothing's ever been his fault. Are y'all listening to me this night? I'm trying to help you here. It doesn't matter. Style, maybe you like it. You like to judge things on that or how it feels or the this or that. The nursery was blue instead of pink. Maybe that matters to you. What matters to God is having your church under a ministry of integrity, whether it's this church or some other church, and there are many in this town that are, but have them under a ministry of integrity, and you stay under authority and in alignment and watch God bless and protect your family because of it. The church is not here to entertain your children and young people and babysit them, even though that may be part of what we do, but that's not why we're here. We are here to help you put a hedge of protection around them so that when they get into these secular schools and get tempted and get tested, they'll have a rock that they can stand on. They'll have a hedge all the way around them. Now, my mother, Gladys, Mama cussed a lot like I do, but she prayed a lot too. Most of her cursing was the family, you know, but Mama prayed a lot, and I never could get in trouble. One time I saw this girl, it wasn't Paulette, one time. We was just dating, we wasn't married or engaged. I get home and Mama said, I heard you saw that slut, lives over there on Early Street. Don't ever bring her around here. I said, she's got eyes some everywhere. I'm sitting behind a place called Susie's one night, a junior in high school. Really, I've already surrendered to preach, but we decided we're going to have a little drink back there. My brother pulls up in his car and said, Mother knows you're here. I got home, and my daddy only whipped me twice. But Daddy was getting off alcohol, you know, getting saved, getting right with God. And Daddy greeted me at the door with the belt. And he whipped me to the bedroom. I needed it. Hedge around families. Let me hurry. The awful removal of a hedge. Let me say several things. God said, I'll do to my vineyard, I'll take away its hedge. Sometimes God takes away a hedge by taking away a pastor, by the way, or a president. Are you listening to me? Or a coach. Or a leader. Or a church, even. I mean, you need to understand that authority is the only thing Satan recognizes. That's it. Now, number one, rarely the hedge was taken away to test God's service. Only two times in the Bible I can find, or really three counting Jesus. Job and Joseph, that's it. That's it. He'll take down the hedge to test a servant. But most of the time, hedges are removed, secondly, when authority is violated. Let me tell you, all this shooting policemen, all this going on, that's taking the hedge of protection down from our communities. This undermining of police and of our first responders and of our soldiers and all that junk going on by these crazy liberals violates Romans 13, where God said, I put them in authority to protect you, to be a terror to evil and not to good. You ought to kiss the hand of every policeman you walk by. Hedges removed. Failure to follow pastoral authority will cause removal of the hedge. Three, moral failure. Listen to Isaiah 5. I didn't read you the whole chapter. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink and who continue the night till it inflames them. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine and men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Alcohol abuse, drug abuse, obsession with entertainment. Listen to verse 12. The harp and the strings, that's the guitar and the other, and the violins and the tambourines and the flute. And the wine are in their feast. They do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. Number three here, immorality becomes popular and acceptable. What are those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, as if sin is, and sin as if it were with a cart rope? They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Does anybody believe that's going on in America? Never have we seen such a thing. Spiritual apathy and laziness takes away the horn, the hedge. List of Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And it was overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its wall or hedge was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Many of you have traveled around the world with me and you've walked through what once were ancient cities, buildings that once were great churches. You know, when I go to Constantinople, or as the Muslims call it, Istanbul, and we get over there to the Holy Wisdom, Hagia Sophia, one of the largest church auditoriums ever built in the world, where every Sunday, more than once, more than 10,000 to 12,000 people stood and heard Chrysostom and others preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the fires of heaven fell. And now to know it's been turned into an Islamic museum. To know that at its porch, 45,000 parents were slain by these peace-loving Muslims while their children watched and were later carried into slavery. And I'll not forget the 12 Muslims that bowed on the edge of our property, having come out of a Muslim-owned business down there that a lot of you take your children to a lot. When asked by the authorities, what are you doing here on Abba's house property? They said, oh, that's going to be our building. That'll be perfect for us when we take over. Now, I'm not talking about Detroit, folks. I'm talking about Chattanooga. If you don't think it could happen, it could happen. Just quit coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Don't show up for your conferences. You got too much entertainment to do, too much things going on. Just decide this isn't important. And I promise you, the Muslims would pack that building out to cry out to take over this nation. We're going to give an account. God, thank you, Lord. You hear me well. God doesn't have to judge America. All he has to do is move the hedge. You're talking about a border being an open border. You let the open border come, and the demons come. And they're swarming in Washington. And they're about to be exposed, and they're scattering light. I wish I could tell you some stuff that I can't tell you. Let me go on. Spiritual apathy. The removal of the hedge enlarges hell. Listen to this. Isaiah 5, what I just read you. When the hedges come down around a nation, our children and our grandchildren, our neighbors and our friends of every race and color start going to hell for eternity. Therefore, Sheol, or hell, has enlarged itself, and open its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. Is this not kind of scary? The removal of the hedge. Terrible. Let me close. How do we rebuild the hedge? First of all, it's got to be important to you, your nation, your family, your community, your church, and your own individual life. What you allow to enter and to leave, and what you protect your family, your church, your community, what you allow in and out has to be important. God has no sanctuary cities for the unsaved. The sanctuary cities were for believers in the Old Testament. God takes down the wall and every foul thing begins to pour in. Not judging people, they need Jesus. But every foul spirit comes to destroy a nation. We want to rebuild our hedge. How do we do it? Number one, God uses prayer. My wife just fell into praying in our old office before we came over here, praying hedges, praying hedges, praying hedges, praying hedges. She didn't know what I was preaching on, but she started praying hedges around things. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to pray. You read Ephesians 6:10 and following, and the Bible will tell you to put on the whole armor of God. It ends in verse 18 with praying always with all prayer in the Spirit. The one thing I've noticed about our pastor, Ronnie, is he doesn't have an answer for everything, but he'll sure pray about anything. And if I could say anything to the staff that are in front of me, the leadership, that's most of who's here tonight, if I could have this ministry to go over, I'd pray more and plan less. Because God could do in 1 hour what 15 or 20 hours of your planning will never accomplish. I'd say to Ken Hartley, God bless you, brother. I wouldn't have your job for a million years. Music is always, since Satan was a music leader, it's always where things rise up. But I'd gather every staff member, everybody that's going to walk on that stage. I don't care how spiritual you think they are. And I'd get down on my knees and I'd say, let's pray and be sure you're supposed to be up there today. If I was senior pastor of this church, I'd get with my leadership and I'd go to praying more. If I was deacons, I'd quit talking about this and that and I'd just get down and pray. Pastor's council ought to call a prayer meeting and not do anything else. We need some prayer around here. This nation needs prayer. Folks, we're not resting against flesh and blood. You need to know that the forces, that when this wall comes down, we're not talking about Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi or Donald Trump or whichever side you may. We're talking about strong demons, territory demons. We're talking about the wicked spirits. But I want to tell you, my friend, when you get the armor of God is the hedge, Ephesians 6. Put on every piece of it and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, praying always with all prayer. And you watch God begin to put hedges around people and bring them home. You watch God begin to put hedges around people and around communities and around nations. You watch what he begins to do. Watch, they'll stop shooting our policemen. We'll see that thing settle up in the Middle East. We'll see the prosperity as we see it in our nation. We'll see the offerings begin to come. We'll see the church held in higher esteem again. We'll see lost people come into Jesus by the power of God. But we've got to pray, folks. We've got to pray. Number two, God uses people to build hedges. You know what I do, what I used to do? People say, I don't know why you had him here speak. I'm going to tell you why. Whoever the world doesn't like should be the first one you invite. If everybody's bragging on them, everybody's heard it. But if you want God to have something, you better get somebody coming out of the wilderness that's got grasshoppers in their lunchbox and has heard from God. Ezekiel 13:5. You've not gone into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. That's him talking about prayer now. Got to go up in them gaps. Everybody say, go. Ezekiel 22:30. I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. One man, one woman, who will say, God, help me, I'm going to stand for these babies. The reason babies ain't being killed in Chattanooga today is because for 5 years, this church and hundreds of others, weird people, we stood out there in front of that abortion clinic. And a lot of times young people see their own parents standing there, not coming over there to get an abortion and flee. We shut that abortion clinic down in this town, and there's not one today. And today that place that was an abortion clinic is a national memorial to the unborn. That's what the people of this city can do. And we can do it to the glory of God. God sets angels as a hedge. Psalm 34:7. Everybody smile. Got you all upset, so smile. So Pastor Ronnie sees this, he wants y'all to be smiling. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revival and awakening sets a hedge. Verse 5, For I saith the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about her, and a glory in the midst of her. When we begin to see the glory of God fall and the fire of God move, that begins to build a hedge of protection around our family, around our nation, around our churches, around our lives as individuals. So here we are. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. We're here to bring forth fruit, much fruit, more fruit. That's what he said. Every branch in me, said, you're going to be fruitful. So I want you to know tonight, on this Day of Atonement, I'm beginning to feel a shout. I'm thankful that I'm encased by a stone wall made of the Rock of Ages. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that he wore a crown of thorns. I'm surrounded by a hedge of thorns that's stained with blood. And these crawling creatures and climbing creatures, they can't come in. But thank God those powers of the air, they are defeated at Calvary. And when the fire of prayer and Holy Ghost awakening and the gifts of the Spirit, when the angels begin to be a flame of fire, not one demon can penetrate that. And God grant it. So tonight, I don't want to do an altar call. I want you to get on your knees if you're able. If you're not, stay in your chair. And I want us to pray for a hedge around America. Even if you don't like the leadership in the state or in the city, you may not like the mayor, you pray for him right now. You may not like the governor, but you pray for him. You may not like our senators, but you pray for him. You may not like the president, but you pray for him. I want you to begin to pray right now and ask God to put a fire around all of this, our nation, to rebuild the hedges around this nation right now. Many of you know, I want to tell you, when it gets around you and the individual and the church, you're going to see your family coming back. You're going to see others coming back to be a part. Now the Bible, there is in the Bible, when desperate things happen, and our pastor preached on desperate things, that there's a power in the Bible called the power of crying out to God. So I don't want you to do anything at all that God doesn't lead you to do, but I don't want you to fear being uncomfortable either. I want you to cry out to God and ask him to have mercy and rebuild a hedge on this nation. Cry out right now, would you? Lift up your voice. Don't just pray silently. Come on, get to crying out to God right now. Lift up your voice right now. Oh God, have mercy on America. Have mercy on the Congress. Stop the division. Have mercy on our president, Lord. Have mercy on our Governor Haslam and on Mayor Bean here. Have mercy, Lord, and build hedges around our communities. Oh, God, we pray for your judgment not to happen. Don't lift the hedge. Keep rebuilding the spiritual walls that must be built, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, how we need you tonight. Stir your people to pray, Lord. Stir them to pray, Lord. Stir them to pray. Bless our pastor closing out of in Virginia tomorrow night. Lord, closing out his message now while we're preaching here. Stir that thing within 100 miles of Washington, D.C. Burst something forth up there tonight, Lord. Let it wash across the Shenandoah, across the Potomac River into Washington. We pray, Lord, for this crowd here tonight. Bless them, Lord, for enduring these words tonight. And Lord, we pray for the hedge to be rebuilt. Lord, we want to promise you there's going to be some fresh oil and new wine here. No rotten, stinking grapes. We're not going to be poisoning anybody out of here. Lord, presses are going to burst forth with wine. Businesses are going to be birthed in people's hearts right now. Prosperity is going to come on people. When the protection of their income, the enemy's off of their income and their stuff quits tearing up, when the walls are back up of protection, Lord, there's going to be a prosperity that'll make what's going on now look like child's play. Lord, we believe you're about to do something great. And Lord, when the election happens this fall, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray, Lord, for a continuing building. Rebuilding of spiritual walls. Now bless these people, Lord. Bless them with your strength and with your presence. And Lord, go with me to Flint, Michigan. Brad, as he travels with me, go with us into that church, Lord, that faithful pastor. And in that dark Muslim area, let us walk in with the love and light of Jesus. And I pray there'll be some Muslims come to Jesus. I pray some women will be able to have their husbands rip those hijabs off their head and say, you can have your hair show now because we found Jesus. We're not under the law anymore. Father, we pray with all of our heart for this city. Thank you for the 21 baptized so far this month. Thank you, Lord, for those being saved in this house. Oh, God, help us. To be sure we're under authority and, Lord, we're in alignment and the walls are up. Close our mouths, Lord. Let us walk in what you're doing, in the visions of these you're raising up to lead us. Oh, God, we ask, Lord, for Solomonic blessing to come on this church. Lord, we've warred, but we believe we're going to see a millennial season coming, not the millennium, but a millennial season coming. We see some good things happening. Lord, I pray for Judge Kavanaugh and for his accuser. You know the truth. You know what's going on, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you'd expose the enemy and reveal the righteous. We pray for peace to be upon Chuck Grassley and Feinstein's and all those people up there, Lord. Lord, I pray somebody will tell the truth before this is over. Lord, I just wish somebody in that stinking swamp would step up and say, this is a mess here. Let's all admit it and let's get it fixed. God, I pray that you can do it. Lord, I link my ministry and my prayers with John Kilpatrick's prayer movement right now across America, that this church will not forsake the prayer altars, that hundreds will begin to gather on Wednesday to sing and worship and pray, if it's for no other purpose than to hear the word of God in Isaiah and to rebuild the hedges in America and in our churches, in our communities. Now, Lord, I don't know a church that had been through more blows than this one has, but we're still here. Through the dark days and the bright days, we're here. You have always been enough. You've always provided. You protected us. When there were those who thought we wouldn't be here, we're still here. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I speak right now in apostolic authority that holy angels would hover above this place and would surround every family. Now, Lord, I'm going to ask you a little personal favor right now. I need you to heal old Trey, my grandson. Lord, you know, he's a quiet boy, and he He loves you in his own quiet way. He loves to play football. And Lord, I pray you'd heal him of that sickness. And let him carry forth, Lord, in his dream. Heal him right now. Let him get up tomorrow morning, Lord, well. I just ask you to do it, Lord. Don't let him know he's not alone. Lord, teach him to call on you right now. Heal his body. Devil, I command you to get off his body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody shout one more time.